Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras, text number 52. Greheshu Vartamanopi Sa Samrajya Sri Yanvita Nasa jatendri arteshu niraham matir arkavat greheshu vartamanopi sasamrajya shriyanvita Nasa jatendri arteshu niraham matir arkavat greheshu vartamanopi sasamrajya shriyanvita nasa jatendri arteshu Niraham matir arkavat Greheshu vartamanopi Sasamrajya shriyanvita Nasa jatendri arteshu Niraham matir arkavat At home.
Vartamana
being present, api, although, sa, King Prithu,
Samrajya,
the entire empire, Shriya,
opulence,
Anvita,
being absorbed in,
Na, never. Asajata, became attracted. Indriya arteshu, for sense gratification.
Ni,
nor.
Aham,
I am.
Mati,
consideration. Arka,
the sun.
Vat, like. Translation, Maharaj Prithu, who was very opulent due to the prosperity of his entire empire, remained at home as a householder. Since he was never inclined to utilize his opulence for the gratification of his senses, he remained unattached, exactly like the sun, which is unaffected in all circumstances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word griheshu is significant in this verse. Out of the four ashrams, the brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa, only a grihastha or householder is allowed to associate with women. Therefore, the grihastha ashram is a kind of license for sense gratification given to the devotee. Prithu Maharaj was special in that although he was given license to remain a householder, and although he possessed immense opulences in his kingdom, he never engaged in sense gratification. This was a special sign that indicated him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. A pure devotee is never attracted by sense gratification, and consequently he is liberated. In material life, a person engages in sense gratification for his own personal satisfaction. But in the devotional or liberated life, one aims to satisfy the senses of the Lord. In this verse, Maharaj Prithu is likened to the sun, Arkavat. Sometimes the sun shines on stool, urine, and so many other polluted things. But since the sun is all-powerful, it is never affected by the polluted things with which it associates. On the contrary, the sunshine sterilizes and purifies polluted and dirty places. Similarly, a devotee may engage in so many material activities, but because he has no desire for sense gratification, they never affect him. On the contrary, he dovetails all material activities for the service of the Lord. Since a pure devotee knows how to utilize everything for the Lord's service, he is never affected by material activities. Instead, by his transcendental plans, he purifies such activities. This is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparadvena nirmalam. His aim is to become completely purified in the service of the Lord without being affected by material designations. Oma jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chaksur unmilitanyena tasmai shri gurave nama vancha kaupa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing of the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Maharaj Prithu is Shaktyavesha avatar. He is empowered by the Lord to perform wonderful activities for the benefit of all human beings. In relation to devotional service, we remember Prithu Maharaj is our acharya in worship of the Lord. Different personalities are recognized to have achieved perfection by each of the 9 processes of devotional service. For example, Sukadeva Goswami by chanting, Maharaj Parikshit by hearing, Prahlad by remembering, and similarly Prithu Maharaj by his worship of the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj is described in this verse as being a grihasta, griheshu. We may think, oh, griheshu means entangled in the material world, but Srila Prabhupada points out to us that we do not recognize a pure devotee simply by their ashram or simply by their material situation. We have to look at the consciousness and the mental attitude, mental absorption of the devotee. Prithu Maharaj is a kshatriya and he is the king. A king cannot just live in a thatched cottage. When he's ruling a kingdom, naturally he has to reside in a palace, a suitable position by which he can rule. We were saying Maharaj Parikshit was expert in worshipping the Lord, performing sacrifices. So it is the duty of kshatriyas that they collect taxes from the people. And with their taxes, then they will perform sacrifices. Earlier on, we had heard of Maharaj Prithu and how he was performing Ashwamedha Yajna. 99 sacrifices had been performed, and Indra was becoming worried that maybe Maharaj Prithu would take his position. And Indra began to interfere with Prithu Maharaj's 100th sacrifice. So this is all part of the duty of kings. Just as Maharaj Yudhisthira sent his brothers round the world to collect the gold in order for him to perform sacrifice. So Maharaj Prithu, as a king, he has to perform sacrifice. He has to have some opulence. He has to collect the wealth, he has to use it not for sense gratification, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Opulence naturally follows the pure devotee. It is said, pure devotion is likened to a queen. Wherever a queen goes, then her maidservants will also follow her and accompany her. Wherever there is pure devotion, we will see that there is also opulence, there is also knowledge, there are also mystic powers. These things automatically follow the pure devotee. We saw in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he did not go to America with any wealth, but after some time, as a result of Prabhupada's purity and preaching, wealth was given to him. And Prabhupada taught us the proper way to utilize wealth, to build gorgeous temples for the worship of the Supreme Lord. So wealth need not be a stumbling block on the path of spiritual advancement. Although in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has mentioned that wealth can be a problem. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya parata chaitasam vaya vasayatmika buddhi samado navadiyate. In the minds of those who are attracted to material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So sometimes we think that opulence can be bad for devotional service. We remember Chaitanya Leela, the example is there of how Gadarhar had heard the great devotee is coming to Navadvip. So he went to see Pundarik Vijayanidhi. And when he saw Pundarik Vijayanidhi, then Gadarhar was not impressed, because he saw Pundarik Vijayanidhi to be in an opulent condition, enjoying luxuries of life. And Gadarhar was a renounced brahmachari. So he looked at him and he thought, he cannot be a great devotee, because he was dressed in fine clothes and he had people fanning him. And then there were so many nice things to eat and drink in front of him. So Gadarhar was applying some material judgment on Pundarik Vijayanidhi. And it was only when Mukunda recited a wonderful verse from the Bhagavatam that it awakened the bhava within Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and he revealed his very elevated state of consciousness, and Gadarhar understood his mistake. So we also often can have that tendency, we judge people, we think, oh, this person, they're just a vishayi, they're just enjoying. But we've already heard in the third canto Srimad Bhagavatam, we already heard about Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu was also a kshatriya. He was also opulent. He was living in his palace, in his kingdom, Barishmati, I think the name of his kingdom was. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes the opulence of Swayambhuva Manu, the great palace in which he was living in. But it also tells us how he woke up early in the morning and he was awakened by the sages singing wonderful songs glorifying the Supreme Lord and playing instruments like the shanai to awaken one's remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So certainly it is possible to be in to have opulence and at the same time be Krishna conscious, not to be bewildered by it. We see another example of opulence being bestowed on Sudama Brahman. Sudama Brahman had gone to Dwarka and he was happy just to meet Krishna in Dwarka. But Krishna wanted to reward him. He had given, he had taken some rice from a neighbor. Sudama didn't have anything to give the Lord, but he went and got something from a neighbor and brought that. So Krishna's thinking is that Sudama has given me more than he has himself. I have to repay him in an equal way. If Sudama can give so much to me, he's taken something from others, something more than what he even had himself to give to me, I should repay him in a similar way. I should give him more than I possess myself. So in this way, the Lord, of course, arranged that Sudama's little dwelling house be replaced by a wonderful palace, and many servants and all kinds of opulence were there. Even he was rejuvenated. Instead of being a weak and thin Brahmin, he was rejuvenated to become a young, healthy man. So this opulence was bestowed on Sudama. Not that Sudama had the desire for opulence, but the Lord wanted to reciprocate the offering of his devotee. And we are told how Sudama accepts the opulence, that he accepts this opulence in the mood of renunciation. He becomes more absorbed in the Lord. He doesn't think, now I will enjoy the opulence, now I can be comfortable. But he becomes more attached to the Lord. And because he's more attached to Krishna, he's less attached. He's fully detached from the material. We cannot be attached to Krishna and at the same time be attached to the material world. Just as the hungry man, by eating food, he gets relief from hunger. As we go on eating, then we feel no more hunger. We feel satisfaction, energy, nourishment. When you eat a good meal, then after having one meal, if somebody comes with another meal, you cannot accept because you're already satisfied. You're already so full. So in the same way, a devotee who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness has no attraction for the material world because they're so satisfied in the service of Krishna. Another situation arises in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels, he came to Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra, when you go south from Jagannath Puri, then on that you'll see that Kurukshetra is there, an ancient temple built from the time of Ramanujacharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come there, and of course he met the Brahmin from Kurukshetra. And after he was leaving there, then the leper Vasudev came there. And the leper Vasudev, of course, his body is riddled with leprosy. But he is such a pious person that if even one of the worms which are eating his flesh falls out, he will pick it up and replace it in his body. So the leper Vasudev somehow came there to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left. And when Vasudev heard that Mahaprabhu had gone, then he fainted, became unconscious. But Mahaprabhu, being omniscient, he understood the desire of his devotee, and he came back to meet Vasudev. And Mahaprabhu embraced this leprosy-ridden body of Vasudev. On the embrace of Mahaprabhu, Vasudev's body became rejuvenated, became healthy and strong. But how did Vasudev view this? Vasudev was worried that, oh, now I have this healthy body, now I'll have problems. I may be attracted, I may be inclined to sense gratification. How can I protect myself from the danger? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him very important instructions. He told him, yes, so now you must constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. And as well as chanting the holy name, you should also preach Krishna consciousness. So these two activities protect us from the danger of being enticed by material opulence. Chanting and preaching will keep us always free from Maya. Queen Kunti is also warned, those who are on the path of material progress cannot know Krishna. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shridbiya Edamana Madapuna Naivarhati Avidatumbai Twamma Kinchana Gochara. Krishna is known as Akinchana Gochara, the property of the materially impoverished. This does not mean that we have to be a pauper in order to know Krishna, but it means we should not be attached to material opulence. We have already heard in this chapter the instructions of Sanat Kumar to Prithu Maharaj and the citizens, that he has warned that the danger, that the human life is wasted if one simply works hard to accumulate wealth and enjoy sense gratification. It's unfortunate that is the condition of the world, that people are just simply concerned with, as we heard the other day, Prabhupada called it, the bread problem. Yeah, working just simply to fill the belly. Now, Maharaj Prithu, we may argue, well, he has good karma. Money is coming, he's comfortable, he's opulent. He is blessed with a good situation. He's been born the son of King Vena. So Vena, of course, was a king. So Prithu Maharaj inherited all the opulence of his father. Not all of us are born in opulence. That is for sure. Would be nice, but we are born in different conditions of life. We should not be overly worried by our different conditions. We see in among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, some devotees were very poor and simple, and others were opulent. We know Kolaveka Sridhar was very simple and poor, living in his little cottage. He did not have any desire for opulence. Even when Mahaprabhu was offering benedictions, then Kolaveka simply told Mahaprabhu, benedict me that I can go on doing as I am doing. Whatever wealth I get, 50% I can use in the worship of Mother Ganga. He said, the king is living in his palace and the bird is living in a tree. Both living entities are enjoying and suffering according to their past karma. What is the need to change? We do not have to be overly anxious to improve the material situation. That is already arranged by the previous performed work. But we should be anxious to improve our spiritual situation. Devotees all have a special opulence. It may not be the opulence of a big home and other luxuries which come in the ordinary life, but the opulence of the devotee is described that the devotee has peaceful mind, controlled senses, free of lust and desire. This is the opulence of Krishna consciousness. Now, we worship the Supreme Lord, and the Lord's consort is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, but we may not enjoy all the blessings of the goddess of fortune. But we have other blessings. We have that peaceful mind, freedom from material desires. That is an opulence which is rare in this material world. So we are seeing from Prithu Maharaj the example of the devotee. He has done wonderful things. He was enjoying facilities, great facilities, opulent. But along with facility comes responsibility. Prabhupada often gives this example that the highly placed government worker enjoys nice facilities, but with facility comes also responsibility. Maharaj Prithu enjoyed facilities and he was not neglectful of his duty. He performed all of his duties very carefully, taking care of all of his citizens. When there was a food problem, when there was shortage of grains, then Maharaj Prithu set about rectifying the situation. And he forced Mother Bhumi to yield the grains in order to provide sufficient food for all the citizens. Maharaj Prithu's kingdom is described as being sinless. That is the duty of the real leader, to protect the people from sin. Because the kingdom of Maharaj Prithu was sinless, that is why the four Kumaras could appear within his sacrificial arena. The four Kumaras would not come to any sinful place. They will appear only where the people are God-conscious. Maharaj Prithu, as the head of the state, was very careful to keep all of his citizens God-conscious. Where there is excess wealth, Prabhupada describes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that all excess wealth should be utilized for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, to perform festivals honoring the Supreme Lord and his different incarnations, and to build temples for the worship of the Lord. It is unfortunate people nowadays do not know how to utilize wealth. But when there were great kings like Maharaj Prithu, there was no problem. It was very clear. Maharaj Prithu was very wonderful in all of his activities. People, although he was in living in the kingdom in opulence, he was loved by all of the citizens. Everyone understood his position as a devotee and therefore were not critical of him. So we are remembering his activities here today. It is, Prabhupada describes, he quotes this verse from Narada Pancharatra, this that sarvopadivinirmuktam tatparadvena nirmalam rishikena rishikena sevanam bhaktir uchate. A famous verse given to us, of course utilized in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami, that Mahaprabhu tells us that pure devotional service, the result of pure devotional service is that one becomes free from all material designations, upadis, designations. So Maharaj Prithu, we could designate him as a householder and as a kshatriya, but Maharaj Prithu is performing pure devotional service. He is not in the consciousness that I am a householder or I am a kshatriya. But at the same time, he's not neglectful of these duties. He's performing these duties, but he also has his internal consciousness as a servant of Krishna. The result of devotional service is described that, as well as bringing freedom from all material designations, we also purify the senses. Purification of the senses. Krishna is the master of the senses, and our senses have to be used in his service. So Maharaj Prithu is showing us this wonderful example, that despite his position and opulence, he is not at all neglectful of his spiritual duties. Prabhupada tells us in India in the past there were so many kings and they were all devotees and they all had this culture to devote themselves to the Supreme Lord. When Prabhupada went to Jaipur, the family who were the rulers previously of Jaipur, there was one Gayatri Maharani. She donated 3 sets of deities to Prabhupada. Yeah, they had that culture. Of course, Govinda Ji, Radha Govinda Ji came from Vrindavan, and they resided also at the palace there in Jaipur. They had other deities. They gave Prabhupada 3 sets, large size Radha Krishna. This is a culture we see also if you go to Nathdwara. Srinathji are living there in the palace there in Nathdwara. This was the culture. There was very nice system. And it was all centered around the worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna. In this way, no one was envious. Everyone was happy to engage in the worship of the Supreme Lord. Now in Mayapur, we're building a big temple. We could say we're also going to become opulent. We're going to have this big temple. We have to be also conscious, not to be bewildered, not to think, well, now we have this big temple, we can just eat and sleep. No, we have to remember, we have to take shelter of the holy name, constantly chant, and we have to also preach Krishna consciousness. More and more people are coming to Mayapur. That means more and more preaching opportunities. So it's very nice to see all the devotees preaching here, doing book distribution. So many programs are going on. This is certainly in line with Prabhupada's desire for Mayapur Dham. Of course, Mayapur is only one place. We can develop wonderful temples everywhere. There is no scarcity of wealth. There's enough money. We see so many cars on the road. People have money to buy these cars. We could use that same wealth to build nice temples for the worship of Krishna. So in this way, opulence need not be a danger. It's just a question of how we use it. Are there any questions or comments? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
We have a non-process of devotional service, hearing, chanting, etc. Do we have to, do we have to go through
all this to try himself in all of these processes, or just intentionally, feeling intention to which one,
yeah,
particularly one to stop on that?
Okay.
Thank you.
So, do we have to perform all the 9 processes of devotional service? Srila Prabhupada explains to us that Sakyam, befriending the Lord, and Atmani Vedanam, surrendering everything to the Lord, that these are very difficult processes to perform. These 2 kinds of devotional service are performed on the level of Raga Bhakti, where there is spontaneous devotion. We should not, in our neophyte condition, try to perform these 2 kinds of devotional service. But we are encouraged to make a good foundation to our Krishna consciousness by the process of Shravanam and Kirtan. These 2 processes are the real basis of our bhakti, our seed of devotion. By good hearing and chanting, then we can develop a good foundation for the other processes of bhakti yoga. Where there is good hearing, then we will chant nicely. There is some progression through these 9 processes of devotional service. In the beginning, we have to hear. When we hear nicely, then we can chant. And by hearing and chanting, then remembrance will come. Remembrance will come where there is proper hearing and chanting. Then remembering will lead us also, we will also begin to offer prayers to the Lord. Developing that mood of offering prayers to the Lord. And then we will want to also worship the Lord and serve His lotus feet, take shelter of His Lord, offer service to His lotus feet. And then also dasyam, becoming the servant of the Lord. In this way, there's some progression through these different 9 angas of bhakti yoga. But the most important for us is the hearing and chanting. And hearing and chanting can never be given up. They must be continued. That even on the liberated stage, even the pure souls, they will not give up hearing and chanting. But rather, the more pure we become, the more we become attached to hearing and chanting. So hearing and chanting are essential for our Krishna consciousness. It's the process by which we water the creeper of devotion. And that creeper grows and grows to develop love for the Lord. It grows through the material world to take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord and then produce fruit. So the fruit is love of the Lord. So our Krishna conscious program is all based around hearing and chanting. But of course we are also worshipping the Lord. We should also be offering prayers in the course of our worship. We are also offering prayers. We develop the prayerful mood. Chanting Hare Krishna, of course, is also a prayer. In this way we see by hearing and chanting, then we become more inspired to practice the other levels of devotional service also. But to become the friend of the Lord and to surrender everything, that takes some time. These are very elevated levels of devotional service. Yeah?
If someone tries to artificially perform surrendering Atmanivedanam, how it might look like? I know how it might look like about Sakya, but Atmanivedanam, how it might be look like artificial.
Well,
symptoms.
We have the example of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is our example of a devotee who achieved perfection by surrendering everything. Atmanivedanam. He gave up everything. He gave up his... He was the king of heaven, and he had everything taken away from him. And he was put in... He was arrested, tied up by the ropes of Varuna, and he's sent down to hell, to the subterranean hellish planets. Subterranean heavenly planets, rather, in hell. And so, you know, this is an example of surrendering everything. But even when everything is taken from him, he remains fixed in the mood of wanting to keep his vow of truthfulness and offering everything to Vamanadeva. So this is a wonderful example that Bali Maharaj, that when everything is taken from you, that still you remain fixed and want to give whatever is left to the Lord. That if there's anything at all remaining, you want to give that to the Lord. You want to sacrifice everything. And Bali Maharaj was so fixed in truthfulness that when Vamanadeva challenged, you have not kept your vow, you promised me 3 steps, then he said, then you take the 3rd step on my head. So this was appreciated by Vamanadeva. that he could give up everything and at the same time remain equipoised, undisturbed. That is very difficult. You know, something taken from us, then we become very disturbed. You know, if you lose everything you've worked hard for many years, everything you acquired, and in one moment it's all taken from you, how would you feel? But Bhavi Maharaj, he tolerated it all. He was not disturbed. He accepted. So, this is surrendering everything. This is why, because this is so difficult, this is why Prabhupada tells us this is very elevated type of devotional service, to give up everything. You can give it up for some time, but then you want it back after some time. You know, you get, it's all taken from you, and then as soon as it's taken from you, then you're working, trying to get, you know, bring it back. Yes, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu.
You mentioned the pastime of Vasudev Datta during your talk, and I also remember the example of Sanatana Goswami being afflicted with the skin disease.
Yeah.
And Lord Chaitanya embraced him, but he wasn't immediately cured. So I was wondering if there's some esoteric reasoning behind that. Some lesson.
Yeah. Well, we could... That this is another pastime. Sanatana Goswami's body was diseased and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming and embracing him. And Sanatana Goswami was thinking, I have to commit suicide, I have to give up my body. It's not good that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is touching my impure, diseased body. And he was thinking to commit suicide. So Mahaprabhu understood his thinking. And he instructed him that you cannot achieve the Supreme Lord by committing suicide. That is not possible. So Mahaprabhu wanted to give that instruction to Sanatana Goswami. He wanted to correct that thinking. Sanatana Goswami was having some misunderstanding of the nature of his body. Mahaprabhu was relishing the touch of Sanatana's body. But Sanatana was feeling bad. He was thinking, no, my body's impure, it's diseased. But Mahaprabhu himself was appreciating. He was saying, no, this is all nectar. That it is not poison, but the scent of your body is like a guru. You know, it's all very fragrant, wonderful, pleasing aroma coming from your body. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give this, wanted to change the thinking of Sanatana Goswami, to instruct him in this matter. But of course, he did get cured after that, not immediately. Mahaprabhu had some purpose. Okay, back to Lou, I have a question.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. So for the example of Bali Maharaj surrendering everything to the Lord, it's kind of easy, it's easier to understand how the process of surrender works because here he's a king, he has so much opulence. But for those of us who don't really have much of anything, how can we understand that surrender? If we don't really have any opulence to speak of, What is it we're surrendering?
Well, surrender will be easy for you then, huh? You don't have so much to be attached to, that's good. That's Krishna's arrangement to make it easy for you to surrender. You don't have to worry about it. But the tendency, I was saying that by devotion, then you naturally acquire some opulence that follows a devotee. So maybe as you go on in Krishna consciousness, maybe at this particular point you don't have much to be at, but as you go on in Krishna consciousness, then opulence may be given to you. And so you have to be careful not to be attached to it. You have to remember that it's all Krishna's. Yeah, the opulence will come. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnana Yatiya Suvairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. By devotional service to the Supreme Lord, one automatically acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So Jnana and Vairag, they follow a devotee. And opulence will also follow, will also come. So how to use it? The Goswamis, they left everything. Rupa and Sanatan were wealthy, very wealthy. They left everything to go to Vrindavan, to become mendicants. But wealth came to them. Rich men came. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a very wealthy family. He left it all. He went to Vrindavan. He was there at Radhakund. And wealth came. Of course, he had use for it. He knew how to use it. He used the wealth to excavate Radhakund, to make a nice bathing tank there at Radhakund. Sanatana Goswami built Madan Mohan Temple. Rupa Goswami built Govindaji Temple. This way they used the wealth when it came. We're not afraid of it. We know how to use it, for not for sense gratification, but for the service of Krishna. So it's not a problem. You know, people come, want to get, we don't have to say, we don't want your wealth, you keep your wealth. No, we're happy, we can take it and use it all for Krishna, right? There are so many projects all over the world going on. Yeah, we can use wealth. Some others, Mayavadis, other people, they want to reject wealth. But we take it all, use it for Krishna. Nothing for sense gratification.
Prabhu? Once one devotee told Prabhupada that I want to renounce everything. So Prabhupada said, what do you have to renounce? Nothing belongs to you. So what you have to renounce is that mentality that I have to renounce something which is not even mine. Yeah. And he gave the example that if you go to the bank and you say, I renounce all this money, it doesn't make sense. It's not yours anyways.
Right.
So we should renounce the false ego that something belongs to us.
Very nice, yeah. Yeah, nothing is ours to renounce. Thank you. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.